I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. We're coming to you from the studios of Georgia Public Broadcasting in Atlanta. For decades, New York, Los Angeles, and Nashville have been music capitals of the United States. But in the last 20 years, Atlanta has become a powerhouse in the black music scene. In the late 80s and early 90s, producers including L.A. Reid, Babyface, Jermaine Dupri, and Dallas Austin made their mark here. The city was at the forefront of the R&B scene with huge acts like Bobby Brown, Toni Braxton, and TLC. Now the city's hitmakers include Keisha Cole, Usher, Outkast, and the Dirty South hip-hop sound of rappers like Lil Jon, Ludacris, Young Jock, and Young Jeezy. How did the city become a black music mecca, and can it keep the energy going? We've got a special Atlanta Music Roundtable with Dee Dee Murray. She's president of Murray Media Music. The company provides publishing services for musicians, writers, and producers. And Sonia Murray, music writer at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Don't know if they're related, but welcome, ladies. So let me start with you, Dee Dee. You've been in the music industry for 20 years. You've seen the growth of Atlanta as a player in that industry. So tell me what your experience has been like, and what exactly have you done?
Wow. Thank you for having me on today. Watching the Atlanta music industry grow over the past 20 years has just been a delight to my eyes. Seeing L.A. Reid and Babyface come into the marketplace and really pushing the button on the talent here from the beginning of showcases at establishments like Diamonds and Pearls, which birthed a lot of the great musicians and artists that you have, such as TLC and Outkast. And, you know, just to be here to watch it grow and to be a part of the process has been very, very fulfilling to me and helped really launch my career in being at different record companies such as Capitol Records and Savvy Records, which was Pebbles, L.A. Reid's wife's company, and then to be able to start my own company to support producers like Organized Noise and to help start groups like Outkast and the Dungeon Family and to help pen songs like Waterfalls for TLC. So for me, it's been a very rewarding experience as I have grown with the music industry here.
You're not going to say anything about Peaches? Okay.
No, I'm not going to tell them about Peaches.
Uh-oh. Sounds like there's plenty there. But I'm going to ask you, Dee Dee, before I move on to you, Sonia. And when I said don't know if you're related, Sonia, you were like, we're all related. We just don't know how. So not to your knowledge directly. But give me a favorite moment. I remember seeing, for example, the Fugees play in a basement in New York City and knowing they were going to go someplace. Give me a moment when you, Dee Dee, saw someone and said, I know they're going to go places.
Well, I can give you my very favorite moment was really being in the studio with Outkast one day and watching the first version of Miss Jackson. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Woo!
I am for real.
And literally crying in the studio because I'm like, okay, you guys have really taken this thing to the next level. And for me to watch this group start from two guys that I saw walking down the street, you know, and really starting to rap and us doing showcases for them and seeing L.A. Reid turn them down before he gave us the opportunity to be on LaFace, to see a video of that magnitude change their whole professional persona was a very defining moment for me in a group that I'm personally involved with. So,
Sonia, give me another moment. What was something that happened? You've been in a reporting position where you just saw talent.
Probably the thing that immediately came to mind was actually seeing Dion Ferris at the Dark Horse Tavern before she had a record out. She was just performing down there with Kim Burrs, who now works with Beyonce and mm-hmm, those people. Mm-hmm. But she was at the Dark Horse Tavern, a part of Virginia Highland here in Atlanta. And to hear her sing, like, Blackbird, you know, the Beatles song, and to hear her sing I Know, that voice, I mean, people don't even often include Dion in the whole Atlanta music scene experience because she was kind of here and gone, but she was a dynamic voice even then. And this is before the Grammy nominations and before, you know, the big song she had, I Know, and was it the Penny with a Hole in It? Was
Penny
that song from the Love Jones song?
Yeah.
The Hopeless.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a moment I was like, gosh, I got to see somebody on the ground floor. And that was, you know, small club in the bottom of the street, Dark Horse Tavern. Great performance.
I have another one, too. It was when I saw India Arie on stage at the Sweet Auburn Festival for the first time with her guitar doing her song and to see where she's gone from here. It's been fulfilling.
The Atlanta sound, there's many different Atlanta exactly. sounds, but some of the people you were just talking about are format breakers who are a little bit of R&B, some soul. They pull back from influences from the past, but they put their own stamp on it. Sonia, what do you like right now coming out of Atlanta? What are some of your favorites?
I liked hearing the bumper music that you guys are playing in between. Those aren't current songs, but first it was Goody Mob and the Cell Therapy song. I was thinking about what, you know, CeeLo is doing now as part of Gnarls Barkley. As a songwriter, when you think about this guy wrote Don't You for the Pussycat Dolls, Turned Around and That's a Big Commercial. I mean, this guy is an incredible talent. The album that he's put out now with Gnarls Barkley is good. I can't wait to hear what T.I.'s got to say. Now that he's been through what he's been through, I'm a big T.I. fan. I'm still a big Outkast fan. You look at Outkast just completed the ballet this past weekend. I mean, these people are looking at the music as just kind of like a launching pad into a lot of different mediums, and you can't help but be proud to see such talent being recognized and explored in so many different mediums.
Didi, what about that expansion? You know, Outkast, certainly they had the movie Idlewild. Mm-hmm. Do you see other talent kind of trying to break out? I mean, T.I. has also been in American Gangster, ATL. Mm-hmm. What do you see happening with those synergies?
Well, I do hope that other artists explore and go through the door that artists like T.I. and Outkast have opened up. For me, it only makes hip-hop a little bit more bigger than it is, and it helps us grow it up more and helps the Atlanta sound just really expand itself to be able to attach itself to other art forms and other mediums. So it is my hope that other artists take advantage of that. I'd like to see Little John in movies. I think it would be very funny. He's very
done some that are X-rated.
I don't watch those. But even like artists like Bone Crusher, who's very theatrical, he was The Biggest Loser, the Celebrity Fit Club. Fit Club. He was on Celebrity Fit Club and has such a wonderful personality. You have these artists that are first songwriters and musicians are so creative. They're so well-rounded, and many of them you will see in other mediums.
Now, you're listening to NPR's News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. In case you're just tuning in, we are doing a special roundtable on entertainment in the ATL with Dede Murray. She's president of Murray Media Music. The company provides publishing services for musicians, writers, and producers. And Sonia Murray, music writer at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Now, Dede, what about the issue of being a woman in this industry? You know, I have many friends in the industry, and I'm just going to be real here. You know, one of them says, well, if I don't go to the strip clubs with the guys, I don't get the deal. Do you ever have to figure out where you draw the line in terms of how you're willing to make deals and where you're willing to make deals?
All the time. As a woman, you always are faced with the challenge of upholding your morality in a lot of instances. And for me, you know, I have had to go to the strip club with some of my clients that are males from California that only dream of coming to Atlanta and striking deals in these clubs. And for me, I just have to really kind of reach inside and make sure that I hold on to who I am as a person and make sure that my reputation stands for what it stands for, and that's doing good business and being very dependable and productive and delivering what I propose to do. So for me, you know, I kind of have to be invisible in certain situations, and I have to stand strong. And a lot of times I have to be a guy. You know, you have to be tough. You have to let them know that, you know, although, yeah, I'm a female, you know, I can punch you in the eye if I have to, or turn the table over, or, you know, just be as tough as men have to be in certain situations so that they can erase the fact that I am a girl and really look at me as a professional that is knowledgeable about what I do and can do the deals and deliver. So,
Sonia, what about the live music scene? Because I remember going to some hip-hop clubs. I was, you know, this was back when I was a much younger woman, and really enjoying it until some of the violence got out of control. And then I stopped going to some of the venues because too many people were getting shot. How are things here in terms of the live venues? Are they safe? Are they, how's the live music scene doing?
It's so interesting that you would bring that up today, because just last night, there were three events that were happening last night. It was R&B Live, over at the Lucky Street Lounge that had Mario and Marsha from Floetry. There was Estelle over at the Sugar Hill that John Legend was presenting. Great venues, both of them. And then there was hip-hop Hot on the Runway, which was Hot 107.9, had a fashion show with a lot of artists. Yeah, Compound, that with Ray J, Whitney Houston showed up. This is the live music scene as of last night. But at that same last event at Compound, someone got shot. And there was incredible security at all of these events. You go in there and you have to pass two or three people. And, you know, the crowd is not, you can't say it was just all young kids at Compound or it was, you couldn't even, like, point out who in the audience could have done that because it was a very mixed crowd in a lot of ways in terms of economic strata and that kind of thing. And at the end of the night, as a matter of fact, I woke up the next morning and saw on the news that someone got shot there, a guy who was in critical condition at this time. So, you know, it's rough, but at the same time, those are great events, three events in one night, and that's not atypical in Atlanta, you know, on a given week.
You know, do you think it's affecting the scene? It's certainly, violence isn't limited to hip-hop clubs, and it isn't new, but does it affect the ability of the audiences to go out, or are they just like, hey, this is part of what it is, and I'm willing to go out anyway?
I think also that things start so late. I think, you know, if things started on time, people showed up on time.
that's never going to happen.
People would go. I mean, I think, you know, my first thought, I mean, I went to Howard and there were go-go clubs there. And there was during a lot of people shooting at that time. You didn't want to go in a club. So I've been through those moments when, you know, you really have to kind of look for the exits when you walk in. My first concern is not, am I going to get shot in a club? Last night I had no concern security-wise, and I was at all these places. My concern was that, is it going to start? Where are the people? You know, I didn't feel unsafe. And there's always there's security around arts. There's security in those venues. That's not my first concern.
Dee Dee, dealing with the musicians you deal with, how do you advise them on making good choices? And I don't just mean in terms of their careers, but some artists have made some extremely poor choices in terms of the legal activities they pursue or even in terms of how they just carry themselves in the public world. Do you ever try to talk to artists about those issues?
Yes, and the advice that I give them is to surround themselves with a professional team that would help them, you know, uphold and help them take their professional presence to the next level. I always refer my clients to attorneys that I know that do good and fair deals, media coaches, image consultants, videographers, choreographers that are quality, that, you know, and I only refer the same people over and over again because I know that they'll give good end results. So a part of my services for my company is to refer upstanding associates that can help them raise their professional presence, because that is very important. You know, you as a person in the public eye, you know, sometimes that's the only image that people see of you. And that's the only chance that you get to make a good impression on somebody. So when I do talk to my clients, I tell them, the minute you're in front of the mic, the minute you're in front of a video camera, you know, that's your 5 minutes in front of the world. You know, don't look crazy. Don't act crazy. you know, this is the only chance that people have to make any type of judgment on you. So you have to put your best effort forward.
Sonia, where do you see things going from here? And I mean the Atlanta music and entertainment scene, whether it's some of the music-related movie making or the sound of the music. Where do you see things going?
I'm so, like, hopeful. I've been covering the music scene since I've been out of Howard. And I think, just again, think of last night, the live music scene here. Think, you know, I've been to three video shoots this week with two more happening this weekend. So, you know, you've got live music on one end, you've got videos being produced on one end, you've got T.I. and Grand Hustle and Will Packer and people making movies and trying to bring them here to be shot, in addition to Tyler Perry. I mean, you've got music being produced, but also music, these musicians, you know, taking advantage of each medium, you know, film, TV, writing songs for commercials, you know, Toni Braxton here in Las Vegas when she gets healthy again. These people are still staying here, but doing things across the globe now. And, you know, people were upset or concerned when LaFace closed, I guess, what was in 2000 now. Now you look at the charts, and I would bet you that 10 of the top 25 R&B artists are either from R&B, people on the R&B charts are from Atlanta or produced by an Atlantan. Same for, you know, the rap charts. And also pop. I mean, you said this is a city that has an impact on black music. You know, Atlanta has made black music popular music. These are artists who are on the Hot 100, the biggest songs in the country. So I'm very hopeful.
DD, same thing.
Right. For me, I look at the new emerging talent like Jazz Specs and Holly Weird and Proton. You know, I see a whole nother birth of musicians coming up. And again, just being on the live music scene last night, I was at Smith's Old Bar to see Anthony David and Jazz Specs and Redlands and Proton and Yellow Wolf, which are all underground artists that are, you know, are stemming away from the norm. Jazz Specs is fusing hip hop and jazz, and Yellow Wolf on the total opposite spectrum is a white rapper that has a group called the Dixie Mafia that is really, really, he's an excellent rapper that is fusing a lot of the bluegrass and country and you know, middle America stuff with hip-hop, and is working, is really working. So I think that the new music coming out of Atlanta, the new kids that are coming up, are really taking what we did in the past, over the past 20 years, and infusing it with the new, like they're erasing all the boundaries.
I just wanted to add one thing. Yellow Wolf is also a discovery of Kawan KP Prather, who was also at LaFace Records. So it's like the story continues.
The generations roll on.
Exactly.
So, well, on that note, Dee Dee and Sonia, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dee Dee Murray is president of Murray Media Music, and the company provides publishing services for musicians, writers, and producers. And Sonia Murray is a music writer at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. They join me at the studios of Georgia Public Broadcasting in Atlanta, Georgia. And that is News and Notes. Nicole Childers and Christabel Nsiabwadi produced the show. Sasha Woodruff edits, and Devin Robbins and Kenya Young direct our show. Our technical directors are Shireen Strausberg and Kimberly Jones. Marcia Caldwell and Sean Corey Campbell are our drive engineers. Our staff includes Tony Cox, Jeffrey Bennett, Roy Hurst, Ernest Champel, Christopher Johnson, and Anthea Raymond. We had special help this week on our Atlanta road trip from Clark Atlanta University and the staffs at WCLK and Georgia Public Broadcasting. To listen to the show or subscribe to our podcast, visit our website, nprnewsandnotes.org. To join the conversation or sign up for our newsletter, visit our blog at nprnewsandviews.org.